OpenAI has released their latest web browser, which is called ChatGPT Atlas. Now, today on the podcast, I'm going to be breaking down how to actually use this. I'll be walking through an actual install of ChatGPT Atlas and what I'm currently using it for, its strengths, its weaknesses, pros and cons against other players in the industry. If you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, you can follow along the whole journey. For everyone on Apple, I'll explain how I'm using this and why I believe this is a major moment for web browsers. The first thing that I will say about this is that I do need to get an ad blocker on this. I'm on the TechCrunch website right now, and there's a big, huge gray banner, which appears that they've sort of blocked the ad on the top of the article, which is interesting. When you scroll down, I'm seeing Fidelity ads on the sidebar that are animated and moving, and I'm going to be honest, I forgot that there was ads on the internet. Because I typically use the Brave browser, which blocks everything. And before that on Google Chrome, I was using like some sort of ad block plugin, which I believe you can get on this as well, because it turns out that this new Atlas browser is just Google Chrome. Google Chrome has an open source project called Chromium. And this is what everybody builds on top of. Even, by the way, Microsoft with their Edge browser, it's just built on top of Chromium. So everyone just uses Chromium for everything. It's the best, most popular browser, obviously. And the best part about it is that all of the plugins carry over. So the ad blocker plugins that you might use on Google Chrome will carry over all of the different plugins. I use like password managers, it all carries over. So anyways, I want to get that out of the way. And in regards to that, I did see a kind of a funny post over on X when people were talking about the big launch of this, and the joke on it was that essentially Google's market cap when OpenAI announced that they were coming out with this browser crashed $160 billion, and then when everyone realized that it was just built on top of Google Chrome, it went back up $180 billion. So Google isn't really hurting right now, but I will say this is way better than Chrome. Google is capable of adding Chrome. People are like, oh, it's just Google Chrome with ChatGPT bolted on. I will show you why this is so much more useful. So in order to get this, you just go over to it. Right now, it's just on iOS, on Mac. You go over to chatgpt.com/atlas/get-started, and you're able to download Atlas. So I'm actually on that browser right now, and a couple of the things that you'll notice when you open a new tab, obviously the new tab is just ChatGPT opened up, which is cool. The biggest thing that's interesting about this is agent mode. I mean, why would you need a browser that just defaults to having ChatGPT instead of Google? That's not very useful, but agent mode is actually very useful. ChatGPT has created a full sidebar where whatever you're doing, you can click on this Ask ChatGPT toggle, and it will open up a sidebar where you can actually get it to, like, you can chat with the page that you're on and the content on the page that you're on. So I want to show you something cool that I have actually been working on with this. And that is that I created a giant, you could call it like an SOP, but a giant document where I actually got ChatGPT to edit and schedule my last three podcast episodes. These are episodes that I did with my co-host, Connor, Grennan, who is with me on the AI Applied podcast. And so usually we'll record on a platform called Riverside. And I created this really elaborate script where I told it exactly how to edit podcasts on Riverside, how to go to them, how to pull out. Basically, it's just step by step. It took me a while because the first time I tried to get it to do this, I watched it and I saw it get really hung up on this one particular part. It's just the UI of Riverside had a thing where you had to hover over a certain square for like a UI piece to come out. Then you could go find it. So there's some things that do trip it up a little bit still. I just changed the way it did the project a little bit after watching it fail on that. And then it completely successfully did the whole thing. So what it did is it removed pauses from my episode. It removed filler words. It enhanced the audio. It exported it. It brought it over to Spotify for Creators, the platform that I post it to. And if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, you can see that there are two shows here that are scheduled, and it's actually the one that scheduled both of these. So I worked with it in my script where it could basically take the transcript of the episode, and it could come up with a description for the episode. It could come up with a title for the episode. I gave it custom links that I wanted it to embed into the show notes. So some links that it could put in there, and it went ahead and scheduled the whole episode. So amazing. It did it for three of these. Like, honestly, that will, I recently have a, my studio manager who usually does all of this for me, are my background, like context on this is that my studio, my podcast studio in Arizona is getting super busy right now. We have a couple top shows. One of the number one health shows recording there, and they're it's going crazy. A bunch of celebrity soccer and baseball players that are recording there. So the studio is getting really busy. I used to live in Arizona, and so I built the studio for myself. But since I've moved away, I didn't shut it down. And my studio manager has basically run all my other shows for me. He's getting too busy because of that. So I'm on the verge of hiring a person. I probably honestly will still hire a production, like a show manager for all of this, but I'm just going to give them the script that I gave ChatGPT. They can be in charge of making sure it does everything correctly. It will save them a lot of time. There's a lot of other tasks they have to do between contacting guests. Although it's starting to make me wonder, all of the tasks that I have outlined for them to do, whether that's contacting guests or, you know, messaging people on, you know, Gmail that want to, you know, come onto my show. I think I could actually make like scripts or SOPs basically describing how the ChatGPT Atlas browser could actually do all of these tasks. So one thing that I will just do on this right now, in case it's useful, is I'm on a page right now where it was scheduling my show, and I noticed that when it put the links in the description, the you know, the show links that I have, they're not actually hyperlinked. So I'm going to just, for anyone watching, I will just say, you know, turn all of the links into hyperlinks. And I'm not going to give it like a lot of a description on how to do that. In my like SOP, in my description of how to actually use this, I will like manually go and click on, or I will tell it exactly what buttons to click on and what UI to click on. Now, this is bad if they ever change the UI on a particular platform. I've also seen sometimes you just tell it what to do and it can accurately do it. I'm gonna tell it to, so I told it to do that and it just made backlinks inside of the ChatGPT panel on the side. So I think I have to be more specific and say, you know, take control of the screen and add the backlinks to the description. Okay. So to give you guys an idea of how this actually works, it will pop up a little thing that says like, you know, in your browser, I can do this. Do you want to continue? You could say yes or no. I've clicked yes. And now for those watching, you can see there's like this shimmer effect that goes over your whole screen. So there's like these pixels that kind of appear in the corner. And you can see a mouse that is now on top of my screen and it's clicking around. One interesting thing that I'll say that's really cool about this is because it's just taking over my browser, I don't have to like log into anything. This is one of my big complaints with ChatGPT's agents that are built into ChatGPT, is it's its own virtual private machine, which is useful for some things, but annoying in other cases. And one of those cases is if you need it to be logged into your website, you have to, you know, give it your passwords and make sure that it logs in and give it its authentication code sometimes if it requires that. So it can kind of be a hassle, but when it's taking over your browser, I just am logged into a bunch of websites. So when I tell it to go to those websites and do things, it doesn't need to ask for any like ability to log in to them to actually get access to them. So that's one thing that I appreciate about this that I think is quite useful, is just that it's already logged in. Another thing that I found was really interesting with it is I told it to open things in a new tab, and it doesn't actually open new tabs inside of my browser. But like, so it's like there's like tabs behind what's going on. I don't really know how to explain it other than to say on one tab, it's like controlling my screen and doing stuff, and it can have multiple tabs inside of that one tab, one project, which is kind of nice because basically I can set it loose to do this project right now. And then I can go over to another page and I can scroll around and, you know, read something else that's going on. Like, it doesn't require me to babysit it or in any case, right? I'm over on TechCrunch right now and read an article that says, whether OpenAI's browser can put a dent in Google Chrome, which has more than 3 billion users around the globe, remains to be seen. AI browsers are quite buzzy in Silicon Valley today, but they're whatever, blah, 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 from TechCrunch. Okay, that is an interesting stat, though. I was actually trying to give you something interesting, which is that Google Chrome has more than 3 billion users around the globe. So if this can take a percentage of that, OpenAI has 800 million weekly active users, which, like, let's be honest, that probably overlaps with Chrome in a lot of ways. But that's like a third of Chrome. So if if OpenAI can really try to double down on those, like there is some damage that they could do to the Chrome user base by just making this people's default browser. One other thing that I will mention is I've also recently tried Comet, which is Perplexity's browser, which came out a little while before. And I mean, big kudos to Perplexity's team for getting Comet out before OpenAI. I think if it came out after, it wouldn't have seemed quite as cool. But I tried Comet first, and it also is pretty good at doing a lot of these different tasks. Somehow I just feel like OpenAI is going to do it better because they're a bigger company with more money. Sorry to Perplexity and Comet, who is the little guy. I know that sounds probably terrible. By the way, right now I am watching over on my screen, and it is going and adding backlinks into the description like I asked it to. It did add one of the backlinks it added. It looked like it selected a little bit too much text. I didn't actually specify how it should add the backlinks to the text. So one of the lines, I felt like it added a little bit too, like the backlink is longer than I'd want, but honestly, it still added the backlink. People are going to be able to click on it. It's pretty smart. Like it's able to, I didn't tell it what to do, but it's finding all the UI to add a backlink in this particular description thing. So I thought that was pretty cool. Again, this is very similar to Comet and everything that Comet does. They have a little side panel as well where it can do things. When I was testing out Comet, I was getting it to go and look at flights for an upcoming trip I needed to take. And I was explaining basically what I needed, you know, the stipulations, and it was able to go find them. I even went so far as to say like, okay, now go book the flight, put in my details. And it had a little pop-up that was like, okay, type in like your birthday and like this information we need for your flight, and we can like actually book it. I didn't actually get it to do that. But like it's willing to go quite far to do a lot for you. So I envision, and even like anytime that like, you know, I'll say a funny thing like, oh yeah, like I told it to add the backlink, and right now the word I would assume, okay, so I'll give you an example. I have like a in the show notes or something that says Jaden's AI Hustle School Community, colon, and then it says AI Hustle. Usually that the second word after the colon where it says AI Hustle, that's where I'll put the backlink in where you can actually click on that. It looked like it was just highlighting the word AI, not the full word AI Hustle. So it's like, why is it only doing part of it? Maybe it's figuring out what's going on. So we'll see. Oh, I think I know what's happening. It removed the link. I don't know, whatever. It's figuring it all out. So anyways, I'll be curious to see if it's able to pull this off successfully. So far it's done 3 of the 4, and it looks like it's struggling on the fourth one. One thing that I will say that I noticed about it is that I would often set it loose to go and accomplish a task, and I would leave for 20 minutes and come back, and it did the task for me over the course of those 20 minutes or so. So like, I'm sure some people will try using this and they're like, oh man, it's slow, it's kind of dumb, it's annoying. Like right now it's like, there's a pop-up is hard to see like the text behind the pop-up, whatever. Like I can see its little reasoning thing in the side and it's like trying to figure some stuff out. And I'm sure people will be like, oh, it's like super dumb, it's annoying. I did see a glitch earlier where like there was a pop-up and there's a scroll bar on the pop-up and it couldn't figure out how to scroll on the pop-up. So then it tried clicking on the scroll bar, but it's like mouse was a few pixels off and it couldn't get it. But it then said, okay, I don't understand what's going on. I'm going to take a screenshot of the page and retry again. And it took a screenshot and sure enough, it retried again and it was able to get the scroll bar and, scroll correctly. So I like the other thing that I think is great is like, if you just give it 20 minutes, it will get the job done. So maybe the job, like maybe you could get this job done in 5 minutes and it's going to take it 20 minutes, but like, who cares how long it takes it? You could just set it loose. You don't have to babysit it or watch it per se. You just set it loose, go get something else done. When you come back, it's done. So to me, I don't really care how long it takes as long as it gets the job done for me. And that's kind of where I'm at on a lot of these different tools. Like if I can come up with an automation, I don't care. It could take it like, you know, it could take it 4 hours. If it, as long as I can get like 20 of these things done at once that I'm trying to get done and it does them all correctly, I don't care if it takes, you know, 20 hours or really how long it takes for it to do it. So that's kind of where I'm on this. And I think this is a big difference from the agents that OpenAI had, because the agents inside built inside of ChatGPT, it seemed like when I was using them, they would time out every like 5 minutes. Like if it was trying to task and it couldn't figure it out for 5 minutes, it would just quit. Whereas this seems like it just keeps going and going until it actually gets the job done or until it comes to like some sort of conclusion, which is quite useful. In the case that I'm doing right here, I guess this is to be fair, it looks like it got 3 of my 4 backlinks done and then just completely died on the last backlink, was not able to add it in there. So I'll have to do it. The solution to a problem like this, though, if anyone's actually trying to be like, you know, other than just dunking on it for being dumb, if you actually want it to work correctly, what I would say is add the backlinks, copy each link, select this, you know, piece of text after the colon or after the semicolon, go click on the link button, paste the link into there, click OK, repeat until you've done all three. Like, if you give it like very detailed instructions like that, it will probably have done this completely correctly. My instructions were add backlinks to the description section. Like, I didn't even tell it specifically what, like, the links that were already in there, that those needed to be backlinked. It just figured that out. So anyways, the more specific you can make it, the better it will do. My first time trying to get it to schedule podcasts for me, it completely like botched and crashed on a certain area. I looked at where it was crashed on. I made more specific instructions, more detailed instructions for that area, and it was able to go through and actually complete the whole task for me. So I was super thrilled about that. Anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning into the podcast today, for checking it out. Let me know if you have any questions. Overall, this has been really impressive to me. This is leaps and bounds. I used to pay $200 a month for a ChatGPT operator, and then it got pulled into ChatGPT agents. Neither of those could do it, and I feel like this browser is the first time it could actually do it. Another thing that I recently did with it today that was really impressive, I have a podcast network that I'm looking at moving over to a new distributor. So currently I use Spotify for Creators that you saw there, and I'm actually looking at pulling it all over into there's a bunch of different places that will offer to kind of like host your podcast, and they will put ads on there, but they all charge different things. And anyways, I actually made it go, I opened a bunch of different tabs because I had three different contracts from three different companies and my current one. And I had it read through these. I would have it either open to a Gmail thread with like all the emails between me and one particular company. And I would also show it like the contract from that company. And I would say like, read this whole email thread, read the contract, and then make me a table based off of like these, you know, these three different companies of which company is gonna give me the best deal, how much each one will cost, how much money I can make from ads on each platform. Anyways, it was like, basically these three really long, dense legal contracts that were very painful for me to have to look at, and it made a really nice table that explained exactly how much money, what the ad fill rates were on each platform. It broke down, and then it gave me like an overview of what I should expect. So could you have done this with ChatGPT? Yes. In the past, you could have done this with ChatGPT by copying and pasting, I suppose, the whole email thread, although that's pretty tricky. You have to open up every single email fully expanded in Gmail, then copy and paste it, put it all in, upload the attachments. So it is kind of tricky, and then you'd have to like work through all of them doing that. Honestly, it's a lot nicer now when it just can see your threads or can see all of your tabs, and you just tell it, look, I have everything you need open on my tabs, read through it all, make this thing, it will just go and do it all for you. So I think this is getting one step closer to being very useful. And then with agent mode, like I showed you, where it can just take control of a tab and go work through a whole project, very, very useful. I find it to be quite good. So anyways, make sure to check it out. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to leave a rating and review, subscribe if you're on YouTube, and leave us a comment or a thumbs up on the video. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. And make sure to go check out AIbox.ai, my very own AI startup that lets you access the top 40 AI models, text, audio, image, all of that on one platform for $20 a month. So you can go check that out at AIbox.ai. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into the podcast. I will catch you in the next episode.